Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, December 10th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
Well, it's been an exciting day here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Maybe all of our radio programs and the many programs and years before it's sinking in that people need to purchase gold and silver. It's very important. And just to go over the precious metal numbers before we add Wendy Wilson to the program today from Apothecary Herbs. Let's go right into the market report. Gold was down 280 today. Only 280 at 1,230.60. Silver was up 2 cents today at $17.23. Platinum down 5 at 1,247, along with palladium up 7 at $819. USDX down 50.50 at 88.23. Crude oil 2.44 to the downside, 61.38. It did come back from its low of the day. It looked like it was ready to break 60. One time I checked, it was down 3, but recovered somewhat. The paper markets today. Let me bring up my paper markets today. You had the Dow shedding about 268 points. At 17,533, the S&P lost 1.6%, down 33 at 2,026, and the NASDAQ lost about 1.75%, down 82 at 4,684, and I love it, the 10-year yield, 0.05 to the downside at 2.17%. And we'll be talking about the markets, the prices, the pricing for gold and silver after the first break to see what it all means, if there was any meaning in today's numbers. But first, we're going to welcome Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs to the program. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, Al, Merry Christmas to everybody.
Hello, Wendy.
I know, I'm in the mood already. Isn't that terrible? In the mood for the holidays.
Well, I hope means you said, You better not be. You better stay away from the chocolate and the cookies and the rest of that sort of thing.
Oh, I know. I'm just. You know, it's a good distraction from the everyday stuff. So, anyway, we're going to be talking about today, real quickly, on the low quality of these flu studies and that have been reported in the media way back in 2013, as a matter of fact. The British Medical Journal, Al Melody, said that the flu vaccines, they're supposed to protect you from the flu. All the studies that were done to support that claim is all hype. How about that? Are you surprised?
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
Really?
Well, hey, here teams of medical researchers who understand how to conduct a real study found that there's a real high percentage of the data in favor of the flu vaccines, which is unsupported by the facts. So they reported that the studies that were sponsored by pharmaceutical companies were more likely to be published by medical journals than other studies of similar size by other funders. They were not as prominent. So the studies that obviously get put into the medical journals, they're cited more, they're repeated by the media more, they're given more prominence, and they're pretty much accepted as fact. But this article in the British Medical Journal was authored by Dr. Peter Doshi, and he said that there's a significant lack in even gap between the study results and the conclusions, and he says that means this qualifies as a poor quality study. So he was even quipping that, you know, what you see isn't always what you get in the medical studies. So I think
what is the difference? What's the difference between a low quality medical study and a lie? Did they elaborate on that?
All right, yeah, fraud is what I was saying. I agree with you, Al. That was what came to mind. But here's a big red flag for everybody. You know, in the 90s, the U.S. pharmaceutical companies made a mere 32 million doses of a flu vaccine, compared to today, where they're making 135 million, which is over a 4,000% increase in 24 years, or about 180% increase per year. And a good example is, you know, well, this is a good example of disease is economically driven. In other words, who's driving the plague bus, right? Mm-hmm. And it's and you might be asking, well, what has pushed the flu market into overdrive, unprecedented growth? Well, the reason is there's a lack of controls, not only in the studies, but there's really very little remedy now for anybody to have with damages. What's the remedy for damages if they get hurt by a flu vaccine anymore? It's really hard to get into the vaccine court, and then there's hardly any likelihood that you'll get compensated, and who really wants to be damaged by a vaccine anyway? The other thing is, do you remember when we were kids, if you got a vaccine, it had to be given in a clinical setting, right? The doctor's office or the hospital. They removed all that, and now you can get a clerk behind the drug counter at your pharmacy to give you the flu vaccine. You can even go to your supermarket, or some of your drive-through chains are now giving out flu vaccine shots.
And so now, technically, we could get a flu shot from an illegal alien. Is that true? We don't need a licensed doctor. We need illegal aliens can give us flu shots now.
Yeah, and you know, and I worry about it getting it through a fast-through drive-through. You know, are they going to supersize the thing? Seriously, I have to ask that. But
yeah, I understand that. Get a large order of fries with every flu shot.
Right. Well, here, Dr. Doshi, he's a physician at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, Maryland, and he wrote this article in May in 2013, and he says, quote, most of the flu studies, 70% of them, he says, were of poor quality. You say a lie, I say fraud. He says they're poor quality and they're over optimistic in their conclusions, which are not supported by the data they presented, end of quote. And then Dr. Doshi actually, you know, made some ripples in the medical area, because Dr. Russell Blaylock, he's a neurosurgeon. He also writes for the Blaylock Wellness Report. He commented on Dr. Doshi's British Medical Journal article. He says, here's the bottom line. The vast number of people who get the flu vaccine aren't going to get any benefit, but they do get all the risks and complications. Doshi's article is a breath of fresh air. This article exposes in well-defined and articulate terms what has been known for a long time. Did you grab that? They've known this for a long time. And what he concludes is the flu vaccine, The flu vaccine promotion is a fraud, according to doctors.
And it's more dangerous. He's implying that there are more dangers. I don't know that he's saying this, but he's at least implying that the dangers are sufficient. The risk of taking the vaccine may be higher than the dangers posed by the flu itself. Now, I doubt that that's true. But if he's saying that there's a significant risk associated, you'll get the risk for sure. You might not get the cure.
Well, according to Dr. Dashi's report, it was very interesting to read it. He said on the flu studies, he says that if you believe the statistics in the flu studies and what the CDC says about the flu trials and the flu influenza vaccine itself, he says the most important, they consider it the most important medicine on the planet, preventing 50% of deaths, a flu vaccine. And he says, if that were true, he points this out, it's so great. He says, if that were true, it would be considered malpractice to only make available 135 million doses of flu vaccine when you have 315 million U.S. citizens. He's got a point.
Yep. I'll tell you another. Here's a question for you. He's telling us that the results of of taking the flu vaccine has been hyped. The people putting out there saying, "Oh, this is going to cure." Well, it might help a little bit, but it's not going to help as much. Does this also imply that the threat of flu is in at least some instances hyped?
Yes, it is.
Do we have exaggerated threat to compensate and get us to buy the exaggerated, the hyped cure?
Absolutely, because the CDC, if you were to bring conflicting information on this to the CDC, you know, what Dashi's saying, they will acknowledge you brought it to them. They won't debate it with you, and they do nothing with it. But here's what the CDC knows. There's only 1 in 6 viral bugs that's actually influenza. And when there's hundreds of influenza specimens that they test every year, a mere 16% tend to test positive for the flu bug. Everything else is another type of virus. So back in 2012 and 2013, the probability of the flu vaccine being effective at saving somebody's life was maybe 9%, they said. And you got to remember, the CDC lumps in with their flu statistics, pneumonia, bronchitis, COPD, asthma. So they lump, they kind of pad the statistics there. So you got to be careful. And I have to tell you about a real experience recently. I was out doing a little Christmas shopping, and I was checking out Melanie. And the girl checking me out, she looked kind of haggard. So I asked her, I said, "Are you okay?" And she goes, "I'm not feeling very well. I really probably should go home." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry you're not feeling well." And I said, "Maybe you should call your supervisor and go home." She goes, "I never lay out of work. The only time I laid out of work was when I had a fever, and that was because I got the flu shot." And I said, "Okay." Mm-hmm. I said, when was that?" And she said, "Last week." Okay, so now, you know, the virus is incubated a little bit. Now she's getting the full-blown flu, you know, and it's obvious to me. But this wasn't the worst of it. You know, she believed her doctor. She should get a flu shot to protect her from the flu. Now she's got the flu, right? And she takes care of her elderly mother who's undergoing chemotherapy for cancer, who doesn't have an immune system right now. So she's going to go home, shed the virus off to her mother. You see what I'm saying? You know where this is going.
I do exactly. I understand. We're talking not just where this vaccine is potentially at least risky for the people who take it. It's potentially risky for people that are around them. What you're saying, what you're at least implying, is that this flu vaccine may actually help to cause the spread of flu and thereby drum up more business.
Gee. Oh, well, here's selling sickness.
What a business model. Okay. First, we'll go out and poison the people, and then we'll sell them a cure, and the cure will include more poison.
Well, the thing is, you know, modern medicine looks and perceives everyone as to be a patient, and that you
I think they perceive them to be a customer.
No, you're a patient, but you have if you're a patient, you have something wrong that needs to be managed with drug therapy. So that's you know. So everything really, if you look at it under the sun now, is being turned into either a social health risk or a concern. An example is bad breath or halitosis or flatulence. Used to be just an embarrassing nuisance, and now it's become a social concern. And in some countries, it's even an offense, and you could risk legal ramifications. Isn't that terrible? So medical conditions of every sort have been kind of ticked up into a pandemic level. Diabetes is a pandemic level, heart disease, you name it. And here's another example. The psychiatric field is changing the definitions on minor behaviors to make them more serious, a condition that requires treatment, drug therapy, like hoarding. Used to be, you know, we used to say, oh, that person's a pack rat. Now it's hoarding, and it's a psychological condition. It's a behavioral issue. It's you know, dysfunctional, apparently.
And it will be cured by spending money. Is that correct?
Well, they
can
they
can we cure people's hoarding tendencies by spending money on psychiatrists?
Well, it's not so much that, but they have drugs for that too. You know, they have drugs for
everything.
They do. They really do.
You know, you've probably heard me talk about this before, but you understand that the definition of drugs includes the phrase man or other animals.
Other animals.
It includes the phrase.
Yeah.
The whole drug industry is based on the presumption that we are nothing but livestock, not men and women.
Here's something that's really going to freak you out, okay? Researchers at Harvard Health, they have the medical school there, have a publication, and the researchers said this about the human immune system. Quote, researchers are exploring the effects of diet, exercise, age, psychological stress, herbs, and other factors on the immune response in both animals and humans. Although interesting results are emerging, they are preliminary because we are still trying to understand how the immune system works and how to measure its function. Now, if they don't know how the immune system works, why do they have immune suppressant drugs?
Well, to drum up business. I mean, we could sell a whole bunch more drugs if people had no immunity whatsoever.
But what I'm saying is either they're lying or they're totally inept and they're just tinkering and playing around and everybody is the biggest experiment ever.
We're just looking at the people at the CDC, for example. They are apparently part of the Ministry of Truth, as is the people that create the official economic statistics for the Obama administration, whatever, the Ministry of Truth. They'll tell us you can trust them. You know, one of the things that is interesting to me about vaccines, you can correct me if educate me on this a little bit, maybe. My understanding is that in the fall, prior to the vaccine, the flu season, that the pharmaceutical companies essentially guess at what strain of flu is most likely to blossom later on in the fall and into the winter.
Right.
They don't necessarily even know the vaccine that they have for sale may or may not be the one you need.
Well, true.
Is that true or false?
This is true. There's like three viruses, and they kind of try to predict, and they're already coming out and saying that this year's flu vaccine missed the boat. The virus, the flu bug that's starting to kick up now, and by the way, February is the big flu month because you've had 3 or 4 months of sugar with all the holidays from Halloween to New Year's. And people's immune systems are low. So February is the big month for flu. And they're saying that the flu vaccine isn't covering this year's pathogen, okay, because they're claiming it mutated and it's become something else. So, but they're still telling people, go get your flu shot, even though it has no protection at all this year.
Well, it's a wonderful idea. What do you have for an alternative, Wendy? And give us some contact information. And
sure. Well, there's a lot of things you can do to empower your immune system. Now, we're not talking about overriding it or managing like immune system they want to do with the allopathic care. You're working with a system to give it nutrition so it can work more efficiently. So there's immune boosting herbs of all types that we have at the powerherbs.com website. Or if they just don't know what to get, well, we do have some broad spectrum all-in-one and pneumonia kits, and my three amigos is the nip it in the bud thing. So they can call and ask questions if they're not sure. Our toll-free number is 866 229 3663-866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. Wendy Wilson will be back with us next Wednesday. We're going to take a couple commercial announcements. And, folks, you can visit thepowerherbs.com if you're looking for more information. Please stay tuned. Wendy and I, or Melody and I, will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We do have a caller, Scott from California. We'll get to you in just a moment, Scott. Wendy, or we got Wendy and Melody. What's next?
Who? I'm Wendy.
Well, today on Wednesday, we got Wendy on Wednesday, and that causes confusion in my
age. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear about that, Al. But anyway,
maybe there's a vaccine. Maybe there's a vaccine for that.
Maybe. But it is really true. The World Health Organization, as far as I knew, were the ones that really, you know, created the and determine what goes into these flu shots a whole year in advance. So when a whole year goes by, and you know, things mutate, and you know, here comes the flu a year later, and it's like, what's the point?
But we can still sell it.
But we can
even
still
sell it.
Even
if it won't do people any good, we can still sell it. Might.
There might be that one thing, that one
exactly.
Flu bug that...
it's kind of like junk food. It's not necessarily good for people, but it might be.
We'll keep you, from being hungry. Yeah.
You got junk flu vaccines. Yeah, same thing.
There you go. There you go. We're running a special today. I think I ran it on this program too. It's been a very popular special. And it's up about, not a big gain over the past couple of weeks, but a 3% gain. But, it's of course, it's a silver special. It's $20 face value of 90% silver. It's quarters. And we have 20 silver eagles. They're 2014s, 1 ounce each coin. And we have 20 of the pre-1921 Morgan silver dollars. And this does include all your shipping costs. And it's $1,240 for everything. So it really is a great little silver package. Everyone loves it. You get the old silver dollars, the new silver dollars, and, of course, the 90% silver that you can use for your emergency funds. And so it's a great little – it just – connects everything together for your silver purchases. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Please make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these radio programs live. And, of course, they're archived on a weekly and monthly basis. So check it out. And I like her newsletters. They're to the point. You write great articles. There's news in there, and there's a health article in there. So it's just what – there's not a lot of nonsense in there. It's really to the point and direct. It's just what you need to know. So make sure you sign up. It's great to share it with your friends and family if you're trying to educate them as far as what's going on in the world. It's a great way to begin. And we still do support the international forecaster, James Corbett, I believe, will be here. You'll be interviewing him tonight, this evening, or tonight, Al, and we'll hear the interview tomorrow with James Corbett, who is also the lead writer for the International Forecaster. So, lots of ways to become educated. Lots of ways to learn
ways for listeners to become educated, and sometimes also ways for you and I to become educated. For example, we have a caller from California, Scott. He had a question for Wendy. I didn't see the instant message from the producer until after we'd closed down the segment. But, Scott, if you're still there and you have a question, and I understand you're willing to even ask me about it.
Or me.
Scott, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, Melody, and thank you for your format.
Thank you, Scott.
Alfred, this could – you're welcome, dear heart. This could probably be right up Alfred's alley.
We may have a connection problem. I can't hear you, Scott.
I think he was disconnected.
All right,
so if he was on his cell phone, he needs to reconnect. So,
all right, we'll move on.
We'll move right on.
And Scott, who has been waiting to talk to us now for probably about 10 or 15 minutes, he may have to wait a little longer if he calls back in. Here's something on Obama's executive orders, and this is interesting. I received this information by an email. I can't credit the exact source on it, but based on a Denver Post article from November 15th, and it says, last month, American people, furious over Obamacare and amnesty, handed Obama's congressional socialists a midterm election spanking. Unfortunately, the Obama agenda is the establishment agenda, and the Republican Party's national leadership fully intends to assure that all of it is fully funded and implemented, including amnesty for illegal aliens and Obamacare. Now, this duplicity shouldn't be a real surprise given the political establishment's dirty little secret. As was once routinely taught in civics class, the Constitution requires that all money bills must originate in the House of Representatives. Now, there are implications here, and we'll get into those in a moment. Although the GOP's rhino leadership, and they mean Republican in name only, the GOP's rhino leadership deliberately hopes you don't realize it. Congressional Republicans have had the power to shut down Obamacare, amnesty for illegal aliens, and any other item on the Obama agenda by simply voting not to fund it. Since they gained control of the House of Representatives in 2010, 4 years ago. Now, this is consistent with something I've told folks. I've speculated. I can't give you prophecy, but I predicted that the Republicans aren't going to do anything to stop amnesty for illegal aliens. They're going to talk about it and stamp their little foot and the rest of it, but as a practical matter, they will betray us. They will betray the law. And I'm not saying that as a Democrat. I voted for one Democrat my entire life. I ran for office in the primary one time as a Republican. That would go back 25 years ago. But the Republican Party is every bit as disappointing to me as the Democrats. Now, the reason this happens and that they're going to ram this stuff through is because they use omnibus spending bills and continuing resolutions as a primary cause for the explosive growth of federal government. These legislative devices lump appropriations for many federal programs into a single bill and spare politicians from ever having to explain to their constituents why they voted to fund unpopular legislation. What they do, instead of voting one bill to fund Obamacare and another bill to fund illegal aliens and another bill to fund the military, they combine them all together, and it is by means of this combination under an omnibus spending bill that they are able to get financial support for programs that they know that the American people object to. All right? They'll say, well, if we don't vote for the omnibus spending bill, we'll shut down government. And we can't have that. So we have to vote for every idiotic proposal that's included in the omnibus spending bill. Now, where we're going with this is Obama he's acquired a certain amount of fame for enacting a bunch of executive orders. And these executive orders he's become a source of legislation by means of enacting his executive orders. And people say, oh my gosh, this is terrible. People in Congress, oh, but none of those executive orders are going to work without funding that's enacted by the Congress. Article 1, Section 7, Clause 1 of the Constitution declares that all bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose or concur with amendments as on other bills. But it's got to emerge, they've got to originate from the House of Representatives. If there's any money required to fund Obamacare, that bill has to come out of the House of Representatives. If there's any money required to enforce Obama's executive orders concerning amnesty for illegal aliens, the money to implement Obama's executive orders should come from the Congress, the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives have been controlled by the Republicans for 4 years. Why haven't they used the power of the purse strings? Republicans have had it for 4 years. Why don't they use it to stop some of the Obama programs? And the answer is that the people in positions of power in both the Democrat Party and in the Republican Party, I'm not talking about all the rank-and-file Republicans. I'm not talking about the rank-and-file Democrats. I am talking about the leadership of the Republican Party and the leadership of the Democrat Party. Both of them, in my opinion, have been captured by superior forces, and they order them both. They say, here's what we're going to do. And the Democrats are going to try to achieve the goal this way, and the Republicans are going to try to achieve the goal this way, and the people are just going to have to lump it. Well, tomorrow, when the House of Representatives votes to enact another omnibus spending bill, odds are that you folks will be merrily betrayed by the Republican Party. Of course, you'll be betrayed by the Democrats, and the Republican parties will wring their hands. Oh, my gosh, this is awful. But they have the power to stop it. They will not exercise that power, or at least that's my prediction. I can't give you prophecy. Obamacare and amnesty for illegal aliens could be stopped. It could be stopped easily, but thanks to the Republican Party's duplicity, they won't be. So there's Obamacare is in your future, Melody, and so is amnesty for illegal aliens.
Well, I thought Obama didn't sign the executive order for the illegal aliens.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or false.
I mean, just...
But there have been bills. Whether he signed the most recent one remains, I don't know. I don't absolutely know. But the point I'm trying to make is that the Republican Party has been in a position to stop Obama's executive orders if they cared to. And he has, so far as I know, he's famous. I think he's issued more executive orders than any other president. And he's trying to legislate by that means. Fine, he can make all the orders he wants, but if he can't pay for people to implement those orders, what good do they do? It can't happen without the complicity of the Congress, which the House of Representatives controlled by the Republican Party. They could have stopped all this stuff. They haven't. I doubt that they will tomorrow either. So government continues to grow at the behest, in some instances, of only the president. It's wrong. It's unconstitutional. And where this flows from are these omnibus spending bills, where, again, as I explained, they lump a bunch of programs together in the same bill and they authorize them all. They might have 7 out of 10 that we would generally agree have to be done, but they can, if they get 3 or 4 other programs that everybody hates, but includes that in the omnibus spending bill, they say, oh, we've got to enact it. Or if we vote against the omnibus spending bill in order to kill these 2, 3, 4 programs that the people object to, we have to shut down the other programs also. We have to shut down the government, and we can't do that, so we have to vote for stupid laws and for stupid programs. Have to do it. Why? This goes to the same problem we saw in the Patriot Act, where people voted for the Patriot Act without ever even seeing it. No one read it before they voted for it, and this is in the aftermath of the attack on the Twin Towers and the Pentagon in 2001. All right? After the fall of the attack on the alleged terrorist attack and so on, they voted for it without even reading it, and they did the same thing with Obamacare. Nancy Pelosi came out and she said, "You have to vote for it, and then you can find out what's inside." Well, now we find out what's inside, and everybody seems to agree that this is not such a prize. The truth of the matter, when the Congress votes for laws that they have not read and considered, then they are abandoning their job as legislators. They are just brokering laws. Somebody comes up and says, I got something here and I want all you idiots to vote for it. And they say, yeah, we'll vote for it. How much money you got? If they get a sufficient political campaign contribution, they will vote for laws sight unseen. This is the same thing with this omnibus spending bill. Nobody's reading this stuff. Nobody's controlling the purse strings on behalf of the American people. Nobody in Congress is really doing that. Somebody comes up with the omnibus spending bill, everybody says, yeah, 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 very nice. Is there a lobbyist in the House? Is there anybody here who can give me some money? I need some money. Any lobbyists here? They don't legislate. They broker. The omnibus spending bill is another example of the same thing. And we would be much better off if we insisted that the Congress actually legislate. One of the results would be that we would have nowhere near as many laws. If these people actually had to sit down and consider the laws they're voting for, it'd just slow them down. I can't see that this world needs as many, this country needs as many laws as Congress is prepared and eager to enact. Be a good thing if we shut it back. We only did the stuff we really needed. We didn't have to go off and do crazy things. So, anyway, my prediction is tomorrow they will enact the Omnibus Spending Act. And when they do, it will be a betrayal of government's obligation to the people. And it will be a betrayal of our hopes that they might respond to us, you know, our needs and wants. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thethepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Scott has called in again. He's been waiting patiently. Let's see what Scott has to say and if we can hear him. Scott, can we hear you now?
Hello, Alfred. This might be right up your alley. I missed Wendy. Oh, hello, Melody, and thank you for your wonderful format.
Okay. What you got?
Are you there?
Yes, we're there. We're here. What you got?
I have to go in for a I'll be mildly anesthesiaized, as it were,
to get a
colonoscopy. Now, what is the ramifications of them sneaking a flu shot in on me while I'm under anesthesia? It's my greatest fear because I know they snuck one in on my mom. I buried her. She went into a simple cataract. You know, I buried her a week later. I think they snuck a flu shot on her. I don't want them to sneak a flu shot on me while I'm under. Do you understand?
Well, I understand your question. I can tell you that I have absolutely no way of knowing what a particular hospital is going to do, is likely to do. I haven't heard of this kind of problem previously. That doesn't prove anything, but all I can tell you, I haven't heard of it. I'm going to assume you're going to a different hospital for the colonoscopy than the hospital where
it's Kaiser. Kaiser's like bulletproof. Kaiser's one of the best ones. They sent me a special letter that said, don't fear any of the Obamacare nonsense, because you're covered. I've been with them for 30 years, all through my working years, you know. So I don't worry about Kaiser. I just don't want some ambitious.
Get your doctor to agree.
Oh,
Just get a document, say I do not consent to have any other, you know, I do not consent to take any vaccines or whatever at the time while I'm anesthetized. All right? And send it to the doctor, send it to the hospital.
I'll
notice
that form so they get it. Very good. I'll just go ahead and, you know, sometimes you can ask for something and they'll do just the opposite. They'll go, oh, we got a live one here. Let's let them have it, you know? I mean, this is what it's become.
Well, let me share this little story. All right, Scott. Let me share this little story with you. I have a client. He's a doctor on the West Coast, and he did surgery on one of his patients. And he had received he was following up the care afterwards with the charts, and he noticed that the patient was scheduled to have, I can't remember the vaccine, some sort of a, I don't know if it was, you know, some sort of antibiotic or, you know, but it was scheduled to, the patient was scheduled to have a shot, and he did not request this. And he called, you know, the head of the hospital and says, what's going on? He says, I didn't request this for my patient, but it was the hospital's regulations or protocols that they had initiated. That patients that had gone through surgery were to get this vaccine or whatever the shot was. And, of course, he was upset because they were doing this to his patient without his authority. And he was able to get that stopped. So the best thing I would think would be to talk to your doctor and do make sure that you have something in writing that that the only thing that, you know, goes into the body is what, you know,
it has authorized. To be carefully considered, because you can't just give them a blanket refusal to accept any medical care while you're anesthetized. For example, suppose that things go wrong, all right, and somebody's got to give you a shot of adrenaline. Well, you can't draft your letter where you say, I do not consent to anybody giving me anything other than this colonoscopy while I'm married. You know, you never know. So it has to be carefully drafted and considered, but nevertheless, if you put them on notice...
You need to talk to your doctor.
Yeah. If you put them on notice in writing, all right, and you have evidence of that writing, in theory, if there's a problem later on, someone can get sued, all right? That's a word that doctors don't like to hear, all right? When you talk about somebody being sued, the doctors say, no, 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 and they want to run away. So, you know, put them on notice. I don't accept any flu shots and whatever. That's what concerns you. And I'd probably just specify I do not consent to any flu shots while I'm anesthetized. And that might be sufficient for what you're doing, but you could consult a lawyer. You can consult your doctor. You make up your mind what you want to do on that. Let's take our call from Dan from Texas. Dan, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Dan. Yep. Hello.
Can you hear me? I just wonder how many of these congressmen, senators, and the whole administration have dual citizenships in other countries.
I'll tell you what, we've got a bad connection. Dan, I think you're calling on your cell phone. Is that true?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
We can, but not. It kind of comes and goes. We can and then we can't. Why don't you try your question one more time and let's see if I can hear it and understand it.
Okay. How many people in Congress and the Senate have dual citizenships in countries?
I have no idea. Not something I know about. Do you have an answer to that question? Okay, go ahead.
No, sir, I don't. But,
okay. I doubt that there are many, if any. It would be the kind of thing that if it were to get out politically, it would be the sort of thing that would probably terminate a politician's career. You know, if he says he's a citizen of, and some people might be, but they'd probably keep it undercover. So, for example, are some of the congressmen who happen to be Jewish, are they citizens of the United States and of Israel, which is completely legal?
Yeah, I know.
I think it's something they want to broadcast. They want to broadcast maybe to the Jewish population, but I don't think they'd want it to get out to the rest of the population. It's not a good idea.
I know that Netanyahu said that he more or less controls the United States. So that's just a thought.
Well, there's no end to it. There's no end to the things we can think about, and that's one of the problems we have right now. And you feel like you're surrounded by a swarm of wasps that are coming at you from 360 degrees, and it's difficult. You know, if you could find a single enemy, a single adversary, and you could face off, that would be one thing. But it seems to be coming at us from so many directions, it's difficult just to catch our balance and try to be effective at defending ourselves. And I don't think it's a subjective opinion, but I don't doubt that there may be some truth to it. And not an accidental truth. We'll come at them with Obamacare. We'll come at them with illegal aliens. We'll come at them with a pipeline. We'll come at them with everything we can, and they'll be so confused, imbalanced, and whatever. Be hard for them to react in an effective way. Anything else, Dan?
No, thank you, Al. Thank you, Melody. Really like your show, and I appreciate y'all, so I'll let you go. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate you listening to the program also, Dan, and we really do. You know, we appreciate all the listeners we have on this program.
Absolutely.
And we really do, and saying that, you know, this is such an extraordinary time for all media. You know, it used to be where you had three TV stations, ABC, NBC, ABC, CBS, and NBC. And, you know, that was your choices. Now, you have thousands of choices where you could spend your time listening to radio programs. You have thousands of TV choices that you can pick up over the air, over the, over the internet, over the cable. There is websites, blogs. The competition for audience is so extraordinarily fierce that you really have to, if you are involved in media and you're speaking or writing in hopes that anyone's paying attention, you have to be grateful for anyone who really takes time to listen to what you have to say, because it's almost a minor miracle given the number of outlets. So many different news and information and entertainment and whatever, so much out there. So we really do appreciate our audience.
Absolutely, we do. The audience and, of course, those that support the program through Discount Gold and Silver, we do appreciate you also. The spending bill today, $101 trillion dollars that was unveiled late Tuesday. We only have a few more minutes left of the program. I think the one that, they all irk me, but the campaign finance, we mentioned it briefly yesterday, but this bill would dramatically expand the amount of money that the political donors could inject into these national parties, and just basically wiping out the McCain-Feingold campaign finance overhaul that happened back in 2002. And as an example of a donor that gave a maximum $32,400 this year to the DNC or the RNC, they would be able to donate another $291,600 on top of that to the party's additional arms. So that's a total of $324,000 that they can now donate, 10 times the current limit. And, there's just never, and this is just one of them, and it's just never an ending. This one just happened to twerk me more than, it's like.
What's the danger?
Oh, my gosh.
What's the danger in allowing and in increasing?
How dare they? You know,
it's
here
not
you
just
have
how dare they. What is the danger here, Melody?
Well, we all know what the danger is, Al.
The danger is that, the danger is I don't have $320,000 to give to the political parties. All right, I don't have $300,000 to give to them. That means Congress isn't likely to pay much attention to what I have to say, at least not as much as they would to those people who do have $300,000 to pass around. It means that the Congress will be biased increasingly to favor the super rich, and they will abandon They will. They'll talk to us, and they'll listen to us and pat us on the head, tell us to go play in the other room.
Yes.
But they're not going to represent the best interests of the vast majority of the American people. They're only going to represent the best interests of the people, the minority, the tiny handful of people who can come up with an extra $300,000 every 2 years to hand over to Congress and or the president or the parties, at least. There's the danger. And this is no small thing. This goes to why we see income inequality in this country. Mm-hmm. It's not an accident that the top 0.1% are getting super rich while the rest of us aren't doing very well. It's happening at least in part because they make political campaign contributions that are significant to people in Congress. Those political campaign contributions are, in fact, bribes. We call them political campaign contributions. They're bribes. They're bribing these people. And Congress says, oh, it's legal to give us money. We're the Congress. You know you can trust us. Bunk. They are betraying us. And the cornerstone, and I've said this for a number of years, the cornerstone for that betrayal are the political campaign contribution laws, which allow the super rich to give an exorbitant amount of money to people and thereby exert undue influence.
Well, here was the big party that all these Republicans were going to get, and oh, this is going to change, and that's going to change. Yeah.
Like I said,
it's changed
earlier.
All right. Yeah. It's changed all
right. It's not changing at all.
It's changing for the worse.
I agree. You know, the big lesson for me was when the, 2008 election, when Obama came into office, and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, a lawyer that was closely associated with them, produced information that indicated Barack Obama was not eligible to be president. Hillary Clinton didn't use that information to stop Obama from capturing the Democratic nomination. She wanted to be president more than anyone who's ever lived. And she didn't use information that was available before the Democratic nomination. She didn't use that to discredit Obama, which means somebody over her head was telling her what to do and said, Hillary, you just shut up and sit down. This is Obama's time. And then when we got to the Republican Party, McCain and Palin, they didn't say anything. The information, the challenge to Obama's citizenship was there. It could have been exploited by the Republican Party. They didn't use it. And what that told me, there is somebody bigger than the Republican Party. There's somebody bigger than the Democratic Party. And they are manipulating both parties, or at least the leadership of both parties, to do what they want done and not what's best for the American people. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank you for the calls that came in. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cedars from On Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.